Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And for those of you who have received our email, you probably understand why I'm excited about our guest tonight. But before we get into that, I would like to introduce you to my friend over here.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
Indeed. We don't usually have a day where a guest actually asks to be on the show. And this happened with this particular guest that we call Isis. And we know from the work that we have done that many of you who are listening to this radio show has had a connection with Isis somewhere along the line. Isis lived in Atlantis, did a lot of work there. Of course, she is well known for being in Egypt and other places too. And people that we speak to, as we said, have had many dealings with Isis along the way. And so when she asked to be on the show, we became excited about it, especially when she told us what she wanted to speak about. And what she told us was that she wishes to speak about that time in Atlantis, about that cycle from Atlantis all the way to the closing of this cycle, which is soon upon us. So I would say that's really great news. Hopefully there's a lot of you listening tonight so that you can call in later after we receive Isis' message. She has been a close companion to so many of you, and now is the time to connect with her, to ask her questions, and find out exactly what the plan is for the end of this cycle. If you have listened to our shows before, you know that Richard works directly with our guest, and he tells us about the energy that he feels when he works with them. We also tell you that you could be able to feel it too. So see in your third eye a picture of what you think Isis should look like or something that reminds you of Isis. Call her by her name and you will have this close energetic connection to her and listen to Richard's words. Richard, tell us and our listeners what it feels like energetically as you connect with Isis.
It's very interesting because I, as many of you all know, I work with Isis quite often. And there is an aspect of her energy that I find quite unique. There is this powerful aspect which I experience right over to the left of the spectrum of energy that I experience, is the best way to put it, kind of like almost right over on the left side of my body. And when our guests come forth in this manner, it's like they turn the volume up on their energy. So it's very clear. It's very interesting. So it's like there are these two primary components to her energy. There's this beautiful, clear love energy that I experience very centrally, really, in my body. And then there's this quite powerful, I wouldn't describe it as sharp, but very focused energy right across on the left. It's not like there's no other energy, but those two elements stand out. And I associate that energy over to the left as being this powerful wisdom that she carries. She's very well known as a healer and has described herself to us as the mother of all healing. And what many of you probably won't know is that, in fact, it was Isis that brought the Reiki healing energies to the planet a long, long time ago. And so it's not, even though I'm aware of that, those energies that I would associate with her healing abilities, it's this wisdom energy that I experience from her that's quite unusual, and it's how I recognize her when I connect with her to work with her. And as I said, the volume has been turned up on that and the other energies that I experience of her. It's quite fascinating.
I just love it, Richard, and I love the way you explain it. So, if you would, tune in to her energy and tell us what message she wishes to give our friends.
Firstly, I couldn't not tune into her energy because
she's knocking you over, huh?
Almost. Good thing I'm sitting down. So let's see what she has to say. My dear friends, I ask to come forth at this juncture because this is a moment where, as I said to those who participated with me in the Voices from Heaven conference call last night, you will have heard me say in that message that all hell is about to break loose on the planet. And as you will all understand, there has been much talk about the changes that are to come forth and the preparation that is necessary for humanity before the solstice. And that seems like such a small step from where you are. And so I wanted to take this opportunity to come forth now because in so many ways there will be a lot of confusion emerging in so many people's experience over the coming weeks. And I wanted to take this opportunity before, you might say, the disruptions and the noise became so great that it would be difficult for you to hear my words as clearly as you will in this moment. So that is why I came knocking on Carolyn's door, you might say, to come forth. And I will share with you a little piece of humor that those of us on the other side have about these two, because all of us understand that if we wish to speak to Richard, we come knocking on Carolyn's door because he doesn't hear us. It is only as a result of us knocking on Carolyn's door and coming into her awareness and letting her know that we wish to speak to him that we can open that door. So I share that piece of humor with all of you at the expense, perhaps, of the one who was bringing me forth this evening. Thank you, Isis. And so I wanted to provide some context and perhaps some understanding for all of you about what is beginning to unfold in your experience. And perhaps that is not really accurate because there have been powerful energies building up on the planet for quite a long time, and quite a number of you listening to my words live now and later by recording have been working with these energies consciously or unconsciously for some years. So perhaps it is something of a misnomer. However, it is important to place what is about to unfold in the context of the past, because it is only by understanding what happened in Atlantis and why that you can understand truly what is about to unfold in your experience and the experience of the rest of humanity in one form or another. As some of you are aware, I was present in Atlantis, and indeed I was present in Atlantis for an extended period of time. You might say that I was amongst the leadership group in Atlantis for many, many years. And those of you who have some understanding of the experience of living in Atlantis, there was no reason why an individual could not live for thousands of years within the Atlantean experience, and indeed quite a number did so. So I was present there for a long time. And many associate my activities with the healing in the Temple Beautiful, but in fact, I had a much broader involvement than this. In fact, like many of the other leaders of Atlantis, I came to Atlantis from Sirius. Some of you understand that the Sirians have a, you might say, galactic responsibility for the development of humanity. Indeed, you might even consider it a cosmic responsibility because of the importance that this planet of yours plays in the unfolding of events across the entire cosmos. And so I came from Sirius and spent an extended amount of time in Atlantis, both guiding the development of humanity and also assisting and indeed guiding that healing work in the Temple Beautiful that many of you were involved in. And as some of you understand, the opportunity was given to some beings who had been involved with the destruction of their own planet to come to Earth. And the thinking was that they would change their warlike nature and participate in the positive experiences that were evolving on planet Earth based on love. And indeed, the initial steps in this began at the time of Lemuria, although the true unfolding of it came forth in the Atlantean experience. And on this level, what unfolded was that those beings, in fact, did not blend in that manner and grow from that association, but indeed began to exploit those who walked the path of light and love and to draw them away from that path. And indeed their activities opened the door for even more powerful dark beings to come and to participate in the Atlantean experience. Now, it is also useful to understand that on a broader level, this fall, this domination, you might say, that emerged in Atlantis of many of those of the light was on a higher level planned. Because, in a way, what has unfolded on planet Earth, beginning with Atlantis and through the fall through to now, has been what you might consider a trap for the dark. They believed they could dominate and control planet Earth and humanity, and they have used all of their efforts and resources in that attempt. And you might say the fall in Atlantis was what you might consider step one in breaking that hole, though in other ways it opened the door to them being able to control humanity to a far greater degree, though the difference was that some of the powers, some of the abilities that humanity had in Atlantis were shut down as a result of the fall. It was necessary to do so because there were great skills and abilities and understandings that the Atlanteans had that it was essential that the dark did not get hold of, you might say, or they would be even a more powerful force than they have been. And so they have come forth with those off-planet retaining all of their skills and abilities and power, whereas humanity on planet Earth since the fall have been quite lacking in their skills. As some of you understand, the capability of the human DNA was dramatically reduced from over 2,000 DNA active strands to just two, that those who came forth into this consciousness had their memories cut, you might say, so they forgot, you forgot who and what you truly are, and you came with very, very few indeed of your skills and abilities intact. And so added to this was, of course, the powerful emotional body that humanity carries, which is unique in the cosmos. And this was a formula for domination by those of the dark. And indeed, that is what has unfolded. And some of you are aware of the activities of what is called the cabal and how so many aspects of life have been dominated by this group. Your energy sources, including energy and electrical power, the pharmaceutical industry and hence the whole health process, the food industry through the manufacturing side of things, and more recently through Monsanto with their attempts to control and dominate all forms of seed upon the planet through their GMO activities. And, of course, the financial side of things where they have taken control of the money systems within the world and used it also for control and domination. And when you add these things together, plus control of the primary political forces and military forces on the planet, you can see that they have stitched together most of the elements that are necessary to control and dominate the planet and those upon it. And they have worked very hard to achieve this domination. And they consider they are on the verge of achieving that complete domination, just as they were, you might say, on the verge of doing so in Atlantis. And it is no accident that they are achieving that moment of almost complete domination at this time, just as they did in Atlantis. Some of you will be aware that the timing of the final phase of the fall in Atlantis, which involved three stages, the last of which occurred at the time of the last alignment with galactic center some 13,000 years ago. This is no accident. Life unfolds in cycles, and few of humanity have remembered or recognized this truth. There are echoes of this understanding within the Brahma religion, you might call it, within India, where they speak of the cycle of Brahma and the ages of Brahma, the Yuga ages. This, in a sense, is an echo of this understanding of the power of cycles within the experience of all beings, within all creation. And so what you are seeing here is the completion of this cycle that on one level began in Atlantis and on another level began in this cosmos with this cycle of Brahma, where the dark have been given sway, you might say, to do their worst, and in so doing have sought to control humanity and the unfolding of the human experience, because they understood that the unfolding of ascension upon planet Earth would lead to the end of their reign. And so they have worked extremely hard to achieve the defeating of this unfolding. My dear friends, I have taken the time to paint this quite detailed picture for you, because unless you understand this you will not understand what is about to unfold in your experience. And that is not only the unfolding of this ascension process for humanity, but also the triggering of ascension right across this cosmos and the beginning of the in-breath of the cycle of Brahma and the ending of the cycle of the dark, not only within this cosmos, but beyond. It is hard for you to imagine that there is anything beyond this cosmos, but indeed there is. And so I share these things with you in part for you to understand that there is no way this unfolding has been left to chance. There is no way that this on any level will not succeed. And I know so many of you have struggled to understand why many of you were given messages and understandings about this beginning to unfold before now. And in many ways, all of this was part of the, you might say, deceit that has been such a powerful aspect of this cycle, because it has been the way of the dark and the way that they have worked. And all of this, my dear friends, is coming to an end with this transition that is about to unfold in your experience. There will be war on your planet within weeks, if not days. And this will lead to the disarmament of all of those forces of the dark upon your planet. It's hard to imagine that this could happen very quickly, but indeed it will do so. And this will be followed by the emergence of rejuvenation for those whose souls are sufficiently prepared, you might say, to participate in the ascension process. And these two events, following one after the other, will trigger enormous confusion and questioning on the planet. And there will be turmoil on so many levels as all of this begins to unfold. And finally, humanity collectively will understand that this pointer that the Maya left with their long count calendar has some meaning, that there truly is great power, great energies that will come to the planet with this December solstice that will soon be upon you. So understand, dear ones, that if you are one who is listening to this radio show directly, or listen to the recording in the near term, all of you will participate in the ascension process. Have no fear about this, because your soul, on one level or another, has guided you to be here, either listening in real time or listening to the recording. On some level, you've been drawn to connect with the work of Carolyn and Richard. And as such, you will all participate in the ascension process. And indeed, most of you are on some level leaders in the preparation of this transition. So have no fear. And trust that the souls of your loved ones, those that you trust, that regardless of the path, that all of those that you know and love on some level will walk the path that their souls have chosen. And it is easy to become distracted by what might happen with the physical form of individuals, whether they survive what is coming forth or whether they do not. Trust that the key issue for all is the journey of the soul. And so all indeed will be taken care of through this process. There are no accidents unfolding here. This is all carefully, carefully planned. And indeed, the fall in Atlantis, just as the ending of this cycle, was all planned by me and others. in the time of Atlantis. So understand that this has all been carefully planned thousands of years ago in your time, and it is all unfolding as indeed it was planned back then. The energies that have come forth over the last 2 years in particular have all been carefully put in place. It was understood that some of those attempts would be interfered with by the dark. It was understood that that was a risk. But trust me when I say all that needed to be put in place is very much in place. You might say the gun is loaded and it is about to be fired. And so that, my dear friends, is what I wish to share with you. And if you have any questions of me in regard to this or any other matter, please don't hesitate to bring your questions forth.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Isis. Before I begin some of my questions, I would like to mention to people who are listening, if you care to ask Isis a question, do it soon. What happens is, and God bless you all for this, you sit back and you listen to these beautiful messages, and by the time you get on the phone, it's like 5 or 10 minutes before the end of the hour. I know the hour goes by so quickly, and the information is so critical, but compose your question, call as soon as possible, so we can get it in during the period allowed. What I would like to know, dear Isis, I have a question regarding rejuvenation, and I ask this for those who listen because I know it's something that is on their mind. Rejuvenation sounds like such a event that almost seems impossible because for the most part, we're not very familiar with people rejuvenating. Yet we have been told that the body knows how to do this. Can you give us some sort of outline, some thought as to how and why rejuvenation is possible?
Firstly, let me begin by saying that the fundamental nature of the physical form as it exists today is at its essence almost identical to that which was in place before the fall in Atlantis. You might say there have been some switches turned on and others turned off to have the physical form be as it currently is. That is, it ages as you experience it, and also it comes forth expressing karmic imprints, you might say. So often illness and disease or physical afflictions that individuals carry in a particular lifetime, or even postures or the expressions of their physical form, whether they be strong, powerful individuals or whether they be slight and reserved, whether they be individuals who seem to be easily frightened and so on. All of these aspects are chosen expressions that come forth in a particular lifetime at the choice of the monad and the soul that is coming forth for often karmic reasons. And so these things did not arise in the time of Atlantis because there was not this accumulation of negative past life karmic energies from lifetime to lifetime as there has been since the fall in Atlantis, and also the physical body did not age as it currently does, as I mentioned earlier. The only thing that caused what you might consider a deterioration of the physical form in Atlantis was negative thoughts, negative beliefs, anger. These sorts of things, if they were held for an extended period in the emotional body, they would lead to levels of disfigurement. And indeed, what unfolded in the time where the dark were significantly influencing humanity was this diminishment of the physical form. Indeed, as their influence grew, there was this vast shift, you might say, from those who continued to walk the path of the light and continued to have the light come forth from their bodies and shine through their clothes. It was such an amazing experience. Whereas those who were being influenced by the dark lost that ability. They began to accumulate these negative energies within the emotional body under the influence of the dark. And so the physical form began to age, began to lose its great beauty. And so those processes in many ways began in Atlantis and have in many ways accelerated in the experience of humanity since the fall. But my key point here is for you to understand that it is simply a matter of a number of, you might say, switches that need to be turned off and on in the human form for it to bring rejuvenation forth. As you have been told, the physical body knows how to do this. It just needs a trigger. It just needs a message. And indeed, that trigger will come forth at the appropriate time. And only those physical bodies of those whose souls have chosen to participate in this unfolding will respond to that trigger, will respond to that command. And so it seems within human experience, as you have it today, such an impossible notion, because there is such an acceptance that you are born, you age, you grow old, and you die. There is such an acceptance that this is how things are, that for most of humanity, they cannot even imagine it could be different. And yet, hidden from the eyes of most of humanity is that extraordinary being known as Babaji, who, as some of you know, is over 2,500 years old and looks about 30 years of age. How could this be? And indeed, there have been quite a number of individuals, and there still are on the planet individuals, who have lived for hundreds of years and do not age because they have used practices that turned off the aging process and, to an extent, reclaimed the youthfulness of their physical form. And these individuals have found ways to disguise themselves within life so that the people around them don't recognize what has happened. They move around, you might say, so that it is not obvious to those with whom they share their lives at a particular point in time that they are in fact several hundred years old. These practices have been going on in many forms for thousands of years. But of course, the rejuvenation that they are able to achieve is not all that is planned by this triggering. Indeed, it is not just a matter of changing the cells, you might say, but even triggering transformation of matter. Again, such a notion seems so impossible within the consciousness as you exist today, as you experience it. And yet, what will happen is that where, for example, an individual has a prosthesis, a replacement arm or leg or whatever it is, these will be replaced by a perfected physical form. That prosthesis will simply disappear, and if they are missing a leg or part of a leg, it will be replaced. Again, there are species of beings upon your planet that do this quite regularly. The starfish is the most commonly recognized in doing this, but there are others. And indeed, there are individuals upon your planet who are working with people to regrow limbs and to regrow teeth and so on. There is a Russian gentleman who has brought this ability forth and is sharing it with people. So it is in fact not so strange. It is just not in the common human experience. And so what I will say to you is that as a result of that triggering, what will come forth is a perfected form, a perfected rejuvenated form of the physical body. And in a sense, it is reclaiming the form that existed prior to the fall in Atlantis, because there was a perfection in the physical form that was carried before the Dark's influence began to grow. That was truly extraordinary. And it is one of the reasons humanity in general is so drawn to models and film stars and so on who seemingly carry echoes of that perfection that all of humanity carried prior to the fall. No, not everyone looked the same, but everyone carried a great beauty in the physical form. And so when you see such individuals, there is this deep longing, this deep memory that is triggered within humanity. So I trust this answers your question.
Thank you, Isis. We have listeners on the line that have questions for you, and we are just delighted to bring them forth. Mary is on line one. Welcome, Mary. What's your question, dear?
Yes, my question is, I wanted to know if I was in Isis's monad or if she was still one of my guides.
You want to know if Isis is your monad or if one she is one of your guides.
Yeah, or if I'm in her monad, yes.
Well, we need a little explanation of the monad, I suspect. But Isis will tell her, I'm sure. Richard?
Your question perhaps reflects a misunderstanding of the nature of the monad. And so let me take a moment to explain this. The monad is the totality of your soul as it was created in what you might consider the beginning by all there is. It is the totality of your soul from which, you might say, fingers of consciousness are sent forth to incarnate upon planet Earth. And so, in a sense, an aspect of your question is, do you and I share the same monad? In other words, do I come forth from the same monad that you come forth from? And the answer to this is no. You do not come forth from the same monad as I have come forth, because I am not a monad. I am a finger of consciousness, a powerful finger of consciousness, but I am just a finger of consciousness that has come forth from my monad. And your question, sub-question, I guess, is, have I acted as a guide to you in this lifetime? And it is true, there have been times when I have come forth as a guide to you, though it is not something that I do with continuity. I guide many of humanity who choose to connect with me, and it might seem a little strange to you, but really any human being that chooses to connect with me and seek guidance from me will receive that guidance. It is hard to imagine in your dimension how this is possible, but it is very possible. And so there is nothing particularly unique about the fact that I have provided guidance to you, because I provide guidance to many. There are individuals who have chosen to bring forth a template of my soul, you might say, into this particular life. That number is very small. And a template is described, what a template, soul template means, is described on the recent message that Carolyn took from Universal Consciousness in regard to this. And you'll find at that soulorigininhistory.com website that these two have created. And I encourage you, if you wish to clarify this particular subject, to go there and read that page of information about this. And I will say for completion that you are not one that brought forth a template of Isis in this lifetime.
Isis, thank you for your answer. And Mary, thank you for your question, dear.
Thank you.
We're going to move on to line three, and Dee is on line three. Welcome, Dee. What's your question, dear?
Excuse me. Isis, should I be working on accelerating the healing gift that you gave me, or should I just concentrate on perfecting myself?
Good question, Dee. I'm sure you heard that, didn't you, Richard?
Yes. Firstly, let me say that, as I said earlier, you are on the point of an extraordinary transition, extraordinary transformation in conscious experience. And, of course, you are one that will participate in that process. And so my suggestion to you is to focus on developing your level of self-trust, of healing yourself, of opening up your sense of love for yourself. Open up the trust of who and what you are, and allow this to be all that you need to be, because everything else that needs to be expressed will come forth as a result of this. And you will, once this transition in consciousness has happened, which will unfold over the coming weeks and months, then you will understand rather better where to place your focus beyond that ascension experience.
Thank you for your answer, Isis. And Dee, thank you for your question.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, dear. And Rosemary is on line four. Welcome, Rosemary. What's your question, dear?
This question is for Isis. How can I help? And are some of the physical sensations that I'm experiencing at this current time in preparation for this momentous change?
Richard?
My dear Rosemary, as you well understand, you are already helping and have been already helping, not only during this lifetime, but indeed over many lifetimes. It is your nature, dear one. You know this. You are one of the most dedicated of the cherubim in your commitment to following your mission and fulfilling all that you are asked to do. And I know this question continues to concern you. Am I doing enough? Is there something else that I could be doing? Have I missed something? Can I contribute even more than I am already doing? And dear one, be at peace. Be at peace in the knowledge that you are doing not only all that you came to do, but already more than you came to do. You have remembered more than most others upon the planet of who and what you are, and you are bringing forth and applying those skills far more than most, and indeed more than you planned when you came forth. So trust that you are indeed doing all that you need to do and more. Be at peace, dear one. Trust that truth and connect with your love for yourself. Remember the beautiful being that you are and accept that truth. And I will say that the suffering that you have been experiencing is like the suffering of so many of the cherubim in particular, that in its own way is contributing to the completion of this cycle. You are a living example of what it means to suffer in this consciousness. And that suffering, as I said, is contributing to the completion of this cycle, and also will act as an illustration of the impact of the rejuvenation process as it unfolds, as this suffering is ended for you. So understand that all is in place and all of this will dissolve in your experience very soon.
Thank you, Isis. And Rosemary, it seems to me you got an A plus, hon. Thank you for your question, dear.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'll let someone else talk.
Okay, on line two, we have Louie. Louie, your question, dear.
Hello, Carolyn. Hello, Richard. The question I have is, we've been given two dates. One is the 21st of December, where we have a separation, some people staying, others leaving. And then we have March next year when the ascension happens. Could Isis provide a little bit more information as to what we can expect in between that? She's indicated already there's a lot of confusion and so on. Is that confusion going to stay on? Are we going to help others that way? What is life going to look like? Something like that.
Thank you for your question, Louie. Richard, do you have enough to commune with Isis on this?
Yes. Your question is a question that many have had as to what this, you might consider, stasis period will involve. And as you look at it from this moment, it seems a very confusing time because it is after the energies have come forth and a great deal of change has occurred, and yet it is before the transition to the new consciousness. So why is this gap, and why has it been provided, and what is its purpose? And I will say to you that, firstly, those that have chosen to not participate in this ascension process, as you understand, will leave planet at the time of the solstice. And so you will be wondering, I'm sure, will the planet be littered with the bodies of those that have crossed over? And I will say to you that it will not. And also, you as a soul, as an individual, will be taken care of. It is hard for you to imagine this, but those that have been in your experience, whether they are close family members or whether they are simply acquaintances, they will no longer remain in your memory. It's hard to imagine this, but you will forget of those individuals, and you will strengthen your connections with those that remain in your life and others that remain on the planet. It is hard to imagine this, but there will be a significant adjustment of memory for those who are going forward. And in so many ways, it will seem like life is proceeding as normal. And indeed, the transition at the March equinox will similarly seem like life is just continuing. In one moment, you will be in the third dimension, in the next, you'll be in the fifth, and it will not seem any different. It's just that a door, in a way, has opened to your awakening, your understanding, your learning. Now, I use these words generically. However, you as a cherubim will have more understanding because you are one of those that has come forth to not only prepare things energetically, but also to assist humanity to understand what has happened to them, those that have participated in the ascension process. So in many ways, on some levels, life will seem to be proceeding as normal during that 3 months period. It is hard to imagine this, but you will find it is so. The other aspect of this, as has been mentioned to you, is that the DNA will be reactivated. And again, this is not as if a light switch is turned on and suddenly you have awakened all of the capabilities that arise as a result of this. It is in important ways a preparatory step because it makes possible these reactivation of skills that will emerge in the fifth dimension. So it is not like a light switch. Rather, there is this process. In many ways, you might consider it to be just an ongoing of the processes that have been occurring over the last couple of years, where there have been tremendous amounts of energies coming to the planet that have actually undertaken massive transformations of the human physical body and of the emotional and other energy bodies, and indeed of the structuring of such things as the brain and the nature of cells in the body. These things are seemingly not obvious to individuals, and yet indeed they have been undertaken. Yet all of this is preparation just in many ways, as that 3 months will also be preparation. So it's not like you will be all wandering around in a wilderness. In so many ways, life will go on as it has been going on. There has been a great deal of preparation that has gone into this. And as you stand here in this moment, it is impossible for you to grasp what I'm saying to you because you are looking at this energetic event that is about to unfold. And you cannot imagine that there could be an experience of what you might consider peace and tranquility and ease that would exist beyond this. Part of you is thinking that the human experience upon third dimensional Earth beyond this solstice will be like being on the barren moon. But in truth, it will not be like this. So trust that all has been planned and all will be in place, and it will be a positive, gentle, and easy experience through this preparatory time.
Thank you, Isis. And Louis, thank you for bringing the question forth. Very interesting.
Thank you very much to all three of you.
You're welcome, dear. And we're probably, Jay, we're at the end of the hour. Nancy, on line one, real quick question, dear, because we're at the end of the hour.
Okay, hi. I have an image of Isis in my meditation room, and a rainbow came up from a candle to her image today, a 6-inch rainbow. So my question is, can we call on Isis to help us with our rejuvenation and ascension as we're trying to figure out and go through this process? Can we call on her to help us?
Let's see real quick what she has to say. Richard, we are at the end of the hour. Perhaps Isis can say something that can address this.
My dear one, you are like so many other souls that think you need to do some things. Trust that if you are in the place of considering these things, you have already done all you need to do. And I encourage you to go to that website page that was recently posted to the 2012countdown.com website, which talks about the transition and also reflect upon my words earlier about the triggering of the rejuvenation process. You need do nothing, dear one. It will be triggered for you when the time is right, and your participation in the process will unfold simply as it needs to. You need do nothing. Trust this and enjoy the ride.
Thank you, Isis. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you,
Nancy.
thank you dearly.
Yeah, we'll find a way to get these questions answered. And Richard, we're right up to the moment, dear, that we have to say goodbye to our friends.
Mm. Wow. She was bringing forth powerful energy. It was like I was completely immersed in the energy. I still am.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Isis, and all of you out there, thank you for being with us. We're going to find another way to get some more people's questions answered. I'm not quite sure yet what it will be, but I see there's a great interest here. So goodbye to everyone for tonight. See you next week.